Welcome back to Racecast, everyone. It's officially race week again. Woo. So, yeah, I was going to say don't get excited because chances are it's going to end with a Max Verstappen win. Great if you're a Max Verstappen fan and Red Bull fan. Congrats. Enjoy your sad little lives. But yeah, we're back. We're going to talk all things Australia, everything that's been going on in the F1 world over the last week. I hope you've all had a good week or a good start to the week. Although, mind you, it will be Wednesday when you're listening to this. So halfway through. It's almost the weekend again, Wednesday. I actually quite like Wednesday.
Yeah.
Wednesday's a good day because particularly at the time that this comes out, because it's 5 o'clock and then it's like, right, two more days. And then when it's race week as well, it's like, get me to Friday because then we can see practice and... Although I'm not going to be seeing practice this week because it is too early. So I'm going to have to catch up on a lot of F1 as opposed to watching it live this weekend. But make sure you do follow us on Instagram, TikTok, Twitter. just search Racecast. You'll find us easy enough, hopefully. If not, then it's probably not for you.
Can I just say something?
Yeah.
Where's your TV gone?
I got rid of it. Well, no, I put it in the living room. Not the living room. Obviously, I had a TV already in my living room. Yeah, we just sat on the sofa and stared at the wall before. Yeah, no, I put it in our bedroom.
Do you know what? I know you've had that for a while, and I've only just noticed it. But it just reminded me that last year when we did the live stream, we were watching the TV. So
yeah, no. So I was dead against having a TV in my bedroom when I moved in. So like, me and Ruth battled it out. She was like, "Well, I want a TV," and I was like, "No." And I'll tell you why, because what I haven't done is paid 400 grand to buy a house to sit in my bedroom to watch TV like I did at home when I lived with my parents.
Yeah.
So, like, my thoughts were, hang on, if I'm spending that much on a house, I'm going to fucking sit downstairs in the living room that I paid for. Otherwise, I might as well just stay at home. But then it got to a point where I was actually like, oh, you know, it probably will be quite nice to sometimes watch TV in bed. And it's actually worked out well because we so rarely do it. We might go to bed at like 10 o'clock and watch like an episode of Friends, then go to sleep at 10:30. Yes, 10:30. I'm 27 years old. Not the young stud I once was, but yeah, so that's where the TV's gone basically. Wherever you're listening to us, do give us 5 stars. It really does help the podcast out. And weirdly, I don't know how this has happened. Somehow we're the the F1 fantasy guys. So I think we should actually start there. This week, we're going to talk about fantasy because number 6?
No. We are now...
In the UK, on Spotify, the fantasy sports charts...
We are number 9.
Okay, we're officially a top 10. We're officially a UK top 10 podcast.
And it's not in Russia.
It's not in Russia, which is the big thing. I mean, obviously we have... Did we get to number 1 in Russia?
Did we? Kyle, we held it there for 3 weeks.
Yeah, so obviously...
We're like Beyonce, basically.
Thanks to all our Russian fans out there. You know, it really does mean a lot to us. But obviously, the UK is our home. So
Number 58 in Sweden.
Nice. Big up the Swedes.
52 in the Netherlands.
Oh, weird. I thought we would have been low there.
Yeah, I thought we'd be hated. Oh,
in fairness, we actually, as it goes, I feel like we are very... We're very fair.
Yeah.
And how we, particularly, maybe not sometimes how we talk about Red Bull, but when we talk about Max Verstappen, we're incredibly fair. And at no point have we ever sat here and discredited anything that Max Verstappen has done.
Nope.
So, yeah, thank you to the Orange Army that are listening. But yeah, top 10 in the UK, fantasy sports. I don't know how that happens. I don't even know... How do we end up in the fantasy sports category?
I'll be honest with you, no idea.
So, yeah, don't know how that works. But, yeah, keep smashing those 5-star ratings because it's definitely helping us out. And, obviously, more and more people are listening. We're obviously doing a lot on social media, so don't forget to get involved in all that because I guess that's where the fun happens. Last year, we actually live-streamed Australia, this race.
We did.
This year, however, it's at 4 a.m. So that will absolutely not be happening because... Actually, I want to get your opinion on this, you guys listening. Is it worth waking up at, let's say, 3:45 on a Sunday morning to watch Formula One in its current state? Because it's not really providing us with much excitement. And I don't purely mean that on just the basis of, oh, well, Max wins every race. I feel like we don't even get, like, we're not allowed to race in the rain anymore. It starts raining, they red flag the race. The cars are so, so reliable. I feel like the drivers are getting much, much better. We see less crashes and...
Yeah. And then unless you're Lance Stroll.
Unless you're Lance Stroll. We know that chances are you've got a very safe one-stop strategy most races.
Yep.
Which means that we don't get the excitement of, you know, different strategies. We don't get that. It's pretty much regimented. I know we had some different strategies based on safety cars in Saudi, but yeah, I don't know. I personally will determine whether I'm going to wake up to watch the race live on qualifying.
And I like your point, because qualifying would be a really good level to see where we're at. So, for example, if your top three is Lewis, Alonso, George, whatever, on the front row, Max Verstappen is like P17.
Yeah.
I would get up at 4:00 to watch that. Because
that way he'll only finish first by like 10 seconds.
Yeah. So I'd watch that because I'd be like, you know, Max is still going to win, but we've got a race on our hands.
Yeah, yeah.
If I know that Max is, you know, qualified by 8/10 compared to P2, then...
Honestly, even if he's like... even if he qualifies P1 by like a thousandth, it's not worth watching because as soon as that race starts, he's gone. Yeah. So... Yeah, I don't know. I'm just curious. You know, everyone at home, DM us on Instagram and just let us know if you are going to be waking up to watch the race. We'll put a poll out as well. But I'm just curious because I know I have religiously woken up for the early races over the last few years, and I am... 4 a.m. would not have bothered me. Yeah. I mean, 2022 Suzuka, I was out in Brighton till like 2 a.m., got a cab home, slept on the sofa for a few hours, set my alarm for 5 to 6, woke up. I mean, luckily it got red flagged pretty quick anyway, but you know, that was my level of commitment there, where I was like, I don't care that, yeah, I'm going to feel like shit and I'll be fucked, but I still want to wake up and watch the F1. Whereas now, I'm not drinking Saturday night. I've got absolutely no reason why I can't wake up at 4 a.m. other than the fact it's a fucking gross time to wake up. But I just don't want to.
No,
I just think it's not worth it.
And I think it's different, isn't it? Because I've got up 3-4 a.m. You know, for, you know, even boxing fights. Even when you look at, for example, Joshua or Fury, not that I'm a massive boxing fan, but for the big fights, you kind of get yourself up for.
Yeah.
And normally, F1, you know, like last year, I got up at like 5:20 to get around here so we could live stream. Absolutely fine, no problem. It's just now, do I just record it, wake up at 6, sit around for a couple of hours and watch it? But I've saved myself a couple of hours extra in bed.
Yeah, and this is the thing.
Or inevitable...
Because you use like the fights as an analogy and like only the big ones. And yeah, of course, only the big ones. But like, that's it as F1 fans. Like every race week is a big one.
Yeah.
So like every race week we get is a Mayweather-McGregor fight.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? So, but now it's kind of at the point where it's like, yeah, but it's just not exciting.
No. If it was a 21-type season, I'd be all over it, because I'd be like, okay, we've got a battle here.
Yeah, I mean, we'd be live streaming it. Like, realistically, we probably would. It'd be the easiest way to get through it.
Yeah.
You know, let's wake up early. Everyone else will wake up early, watch it with us, and we'll all be fucked, but we're going to have a banging race on our hands, and then we can have an adrenaline dump and just pass out and go to sleep. But, like, I'd be genuinely worried that I'll fall asleep through the race at this point. So, yeah, I don't know. Let me know if you are going to watch the race. If enough of you are going to watch it, then maybe I'll watch it with you. But
and that's not saying we're not dedicated F1 fans. It's just we're getting older and we appreciate our sleep.
Yeah, we're human beings as well, you know.
Busy weeks at work, like all of us. Enjoy our sleep at weekend.
Yeah, and think of it like work, you know. You don't wake up every morning raring to go to work. You think, oh, yesterday was shit, I can't be asked to go in tomorrow. That's exactly how we feel about the F1. Oh, last week was shit, the week before was shit, the week before that was shit. You know what I mean? So now we're thinking, oh, I wish I didn't have to watch the F1 on Sunday. So, yeah, that's where we are. But
do you want a bit of news?
No, I want to talk about F1 Fantasy, because we are the ninth biggest fantasy sports podcast in the UK.
Yep.
So we are going to talk about F1 Fantasy before we talk about anything news related.
Okay.
And anything Australia related, other than the Australia chat that we just had.
Yep.
So are you making any changes to your team? And just remind everyone of what your team is.
Oh, hang on. I've got to get this up then. Hang on.
What the hell have you been doing in the last few minutes?
I thought you were talking about F1 Fantasy, actually podcast. Sorry.
What the hell are you going on about? What do you think I was talking about? F1 Fantasy podcast, that's us.
No, Fantasy Sports, I thought you were talking about on Apple Podcasts still.
What are you going on about?
Literally what we were discussing at the beginning, we're number nine.
We are number nine?
Yes.
So what were you looking at?
The Apple, the charts. I wasn't looking at the F1 Fantasy.
Ridiculous. So
Jesus. Right, let me log on.
Obviously, everyone listening, right, you've got Max Verstappen in your team. I feel like you don't have Max in your team.
In my second team, I do.
No, you can't have two teams. It's cheating.
All right, well, I do have two teams.
So I'm thinking of shipping Danny Ricciardo out because he's actually shit, and I think I had higher hopes for him than. Do you know what? I think I put Danny Rick in my team because I was actually hoping it was going to work out for him.
Yeah,
and the matter of the fact is it hasn't. But who the hell do I put in? Because that leaves me with 9.2 million, right? I've got 9.2 million left in my cost cap. The people I can afford.
Yeah.
Esteban Ocon. Yeah, so apart from the fact that I haven't got a brain injury, I'm not going to put him in.
Okay.
The same obviously goes for Pierre Gasly.
Yeah.
K-Mag. I mean, that's just a terrible shout. Although, mind you, he has more points than Hulk.
Well,
and he costs more than Hulk.
Does he? Because this is what I'm thinking, is I've got Pierre Gasly in mind, but I'm quite tempted to remove him.
Pierre Gasly quite literally has minus 14 points.
Yeah, but I'm tempted to put in Hülkenberg.
Yeah, I'm thinking if, because we had this conversation last week, right, where top 10 looks pretty much signed, sealed and delivered every single week.
Yeah.
Right? The disparity between, I guess, what we can consider the front five now, if you consider Red Bull to be the frontest five.
Yeah.
Or the frontest of the five, are so clearly quicker than the other five teams that it's kind of like we've got two races going on.
Yeah.
It's like having two different classes on the field. And I know they all qualify really close to each other, but I think when it comes to the race, you really see the gap between the cars. So Obviously, I can't afford anyone from those front five teams.
See, literally, since we've been talking, I've swapped Racing Ball out for Haas.
Team-wise. Okay, interesting.
Only because already Haas are on 28 points, Racing Ball are only on 11. So I'm thinking, you know, that's good amount.
Mm-hmm.
And I've removed Pierre Gasly and I've removed him. I've added in Hülkenberg. So I've actually got 2.4 million left in my cost cap, which I could use. See, I have Lewis Hamilton, Charles Leclerc, Oscar Piastri, Alex Albon, and Hülkenberg.
Hmm. Alex Albon, right, here's a little stat for you, is the most selected driver.
Because he's in that middle ground, isn't he?
He is. But again, we're seeing that we're actually not getting, they're not getting points.
No.
So I'm now at the, you know, does it make sense actually to get rid of Max Verstappen and have more drivers from that sort of front 10?
Yeah. In?
But I think I'm going to put in, Hülkenberg only has 6 points, but he does look like he's the quickest of the rest.
Yeah.
So I'm going to add him in. And that leaves me with 2.5 mil. So I might go on holiday as well.
See, I don't know, because I'm tempted to try and get Sergio Perez.
Yeah, how much is he? He must have gone
22.1. So in theory, I'm 400,000 off if I remove Piastri. Because I could really, I could add George Russell in. I've got Alonso there, Hamilton, but Hamilton's already there. But I need to move. So do I remove Hamilton? But I don't really want to remove Hamilton because,
that's,
you know.
Snide. You know what did surprise me is Fernando Alonso is picked more than Lewis Hamilton.
Yeah, I can understand that.
Why?
I just think, well, he's reasonably cheaper. He's like 4 million cheaper. He's 33% he's picked. Let me have a look here. Do I add Max in or Sergio Perez? But that means I've removed Piastri and Hamilton.
Oh, if I get rid of Lewis, I can put Charles in.
See, I've got Charles. I love Oliver Berman is here already. Like, you know, he won't be in. Right, what do I do here? Do I add Max in or Sergio?
Well, why don't we let people DM us tomorrow and then,
yeah,
that can help you decide.
Yeah. Because it's difficult, man.
No, it is tricky.
It is very tricky. But yeah, do let us know. It's going to be an interesting one this weekend. I know that for sure. Do you want a bit of news?
Yeah, go on then.
And do let us know what are your teams. Screenshot your teams and DM us. That'd be great. Right, so as we know, Lewis Hamilton will be going to Ferrari for 2025. And there's been a lot of names that are linked, isn't there, to Mercedes. The likes of Alonso, Ocon, Carlos Sainz, Alex Albon, Kimi Antonelli. But Günther Steiner has come out and he said, I have an intriguing name that Toto Wolff should consider. And if I were the team boss at Mercedes, I wouldn't say no to this person. Can you guess who he's talking about?
Well, can you give me three drivers? Like, give me like an ABC. Is it him, or him?
Oh, you want to? Okay.
Because I can't really pluck a name out of thin air.
Okay. Pierre Gasly.
Yeah.
Nico Hülkenberg.
Yeah.
Jenson Button.
So it's not a Jenson Button. Well, it's got to be Nico Hülkenberg then.
Nico Hülkenberg. So Günther Steiner has said, Steiner felt Hülkenberg's performance in the Saudi Grand Prix was very cool.
That's how he described it, very cool.
Yeah. And actually, maybe he was often underestimated and he was usually in the wrong place at the wrong time. Maybe now he's in the right place at the right time. And this got me thinking, okay, if you're Mercedes, you've got George Russell. That's who basically they're going to invest their time in. He's going to become the number one driver in theory. Surely you're going to want to get a driver in to build for the future, because you're not in that Red Bull status, are you? You're not in that driver status where you can go, we've already got a champion, we just need someone who's like a Bottas to come in and run alongside George.
Yeah, but maybe this is Steiner's argument of, well, Hülkenberg isn't a Bottas. He's not a Perez. He's a real contender.
Yeah, but surely you'd want a driver in there who's young enough, who can come in and work alongside George, because you've already had Lewis Hamilton, who has basically led that team for so long. George Russell isn't an out-and-out leader in that team.
Well, so your argument is then, well, let's get a young person in because one day they'll be able to lead them.
No, I don't even think that. I just think having someone like you, it's not really showing much progression, is it, by going for someone like Nico Hülkenberg? You know, I can understand if you go for someone like Alonso, a two-time world champion, he's shown he's still got it. But you know, Hülkenberg is Hülkenberg. Like he's done nothing in the sport.
You know, look, do I think Hülkenberg is the perfect choice? No. I can see why it's not a bad choice.
No.
You know, I think he's quick. I think he's never had a real opportunity to drive for a proper team.
No. Okay, answer me this. Hülkenberg or Albon?
Albon.
Okay, Hülkenberg or Alonso?
I mean, Hulk's younger.
Okay, answer the question.
Alonso.
Okay, Carlos Sainz, Hülkenberg.
I'm not saying there are not better...
No, I just think Mercedes, all right, are at this moment in time, they've gone backwards. They're not progressing, they've gone backwards. They're in quite a poor state at the moment, okay? They had domination for years, and granted, we see teams go through this peaks and troughs where they dominate for years and go off, then dominate. We've seen it with Red Bull. We've seen it over the years. For me, and especially for Toto Wolff, this next appointment, who they're going to be coming in, is vital to how this team moves forward. Because, yes, I don't believe George Russell will take this team to next level. I just don't see it. He will be consistent, but I don't think he will take that team to the next level. I think he has too many mistakes in him. I don't think he's consistent enough in his driving. And that might come more in time. You need to get a driver in there now who is actually either someone like Alex Albon, who is still young, who has proved itself in Williams.
Is that fair to say that Albon has proven himself more than George? Because Albon was at a big team, bottled it. George also proved himself at Williams in a much worse era for them. And then he's come to Mercedes. He's won a race. You know, he came to Mercedes at the perfectly wrong time.
Yeah.
It could not have got much worse for him, because he had probably been dreaming of that moment for years and years and years. And then he got a taste of it in Sakhir 2020, where he had the win stolen from him by incompetence plus bad luck. And then he finally gets his seat in 2022. There's new regulations and he gets an absolute tractor of a car, right?
Yep.
So I don't think George has actually shown us anything as to why he can't take that team forward. But the problem is that he's being compared to Lewis Hamilton.
Mm.
You know, Lewis Hamilton had a very freak career in that he came in, won a championship in his second season, was then incredibly consistent until going to Mercedes, where then he had 1 year in 2013, where it was still the old regulations, then the new regs came in, Mercedes absolutely dominated. The rest is history. But like, you know, is it, yeah, what makes someone a good leader of a team? Because, and this is not to discredit Lewis in any way, but is it actually that, well, he was in the right place at the right time? And now that's why he's got his status attached to him. This is nothing to do with his driving ability, by the way. Just like the way you say, well, you know, Nico Hülkenberg, he's not won anything. He's not done anything. And then Günther Steiner makes the point of, he's always been in the wrong place at the wrong time.
Mm.
Now, potentially, he's in the right place at the right time.
But you say
time.
That. He was in that Renault era when he was alongside Danny Rick. Okay. That Renault wasn't awful.
It wasn't awful, but, like, come on. He wasn't in the 2006 Renault.
No, granted. But it wasn't an awful... It wasn't the worst car on the grid. And what I mean, going back to what you said about what makes a good leader in a team, what makes a good leader is consistency, being at the front of the grid week in, week out. And that's what you see with the likes of Lewis, but, Max Verstappen, and that's why they're leaders of the team.
Yeah, but they also have... How the hell can Nico Hülkenberg prove...
I'm not talking about necessarily about Nico Hülkenberg. I'm talking about people like George Russell.
Oh, yeah, but... Okay, George did have an off season last season, but
yeah.
The season before that, he beat Lewis.
Yeah, no, granted,
and he's ahead of him at the moment.
But okay, this whole thing of like he beat Lewis in that season, they used Lewis to try so many different, you know, setups and everything. Lewis was kind of, you know, trial era for that. So that first season, I would take with a pinch of salt.
I mean, I think Lewis struggled in that first season as well.
100%. But I think this whole
I'm not saying it's something like George should go and shout about. I'm not saying it in that sense, but I'm saying
put
if
it on
we're
his
looking
CV.
At, yeah, like, you know, the car was shit and neither of them got anything to take away with them that season, other than George got his first win, but like, if he was a driver that had already won, that win wouldn't have meant anything.
Can you see George Russell leading that Mercedes team? Can you really see him?
I think so, yeah.
And do you think he's a, you know, a future F1 champion?
If he's got the right car, I think that he could be, yeah.
Yeah, I just can't see it.
But I think... I think he's quick. He's quick enough.
100% he's quick enough.
He's competitive enough.
He's competitive enough, but he has mistakes in his
locker.
No,
he does.
Singapore is a prime example.
He's still a very inexperienced driver in the grand scheme of things.
If you're inexperienced, I can understand if you're going into a top team.
At like top level.
Yeah, okay. But even at top level, surely it's harder... in a team that is struggling like he was with Williams. Surely you're inexperienced because you've got more to prove to try and get out of that.
No, but I don't think you do, because racing for Williams, he was never expected to do anything.
No, but if he wanted to progress his career, his talk was always he wanted to go to a big team, fight for championships. He's going to have that added pressure on himself to prove himself to get to that point.
Yeah. But now he's got the actual pressure of, oh shit, now I do have the good car. Yeah. I've got to do it.
Yeah.
So.
Don't get me wrong. He's a very good driver. I'm not discounting that, the fact he's a great driver. He does some great overtakes. He's got the pace. I just can't see him being a future world champion. I just can't see it, personally.
Well, at this point in time, I don't see anyone other than Max Verstappen.
No,
so...
but even once the Max Verstappen era goes over, I still can't see him being a world champion. I just can't. I think there'll be other drivers who are coming through who are...
If Mercedes have the right car, I believe George could win a championship.
Fair. Let us know. Do you think George could win a world championship? Let us know. Personally, I can't see it. But anyway, you know, I hope I'm wrong, because I'd like to see George do well. Talking of a British driver, Oliver Burman. I don't believe he's on standby this weekend, but I believe there's talk that Carlos Sainz is going to be back. He has been very vocal over last week that he wants a seat on the grid for 2025. And I know a lot of people say, well, yeah, no shit, of course he does. Do you know what seat is at risk for next season?
Wait, he wants a seat next season?
He wants a seat next season.
Isn't this his first season in F2?
Yeah. He wants a seat. Now, after being in Saudi, he wants to race in F1 next year. But do you know what seat...
Do you feel like these drivers get ahead of themselves a little
well,
bit?
But we could say that last week, you know, like, oh, he deserves it. We deserves a seat. For me, the only person who deserves a seat at the moment in F1 who I can really see is Liam Lawson, and I stand by that.
Yeah.
Oliver Berman did a great job in Saudi. And actually, when you look at it, when you dissect it, toughest...
very tough circuit.
Tough circuit. In a Ferrari. Also... He did a great job.
Yeah,
he but it's only one race.
And he was also driving a Ferrari.
Yeah.
Let's not forget, he was in the second quickest car.
Yeah.
This is not to discredit him, but it's just to also be like, yeah, don't get ahead of yourself, yeah, here, pal.
But hang on, you said last week, oh, if you're a Ferrari, you must be thinking, do we... Lewis Hamilton, what do we do here? Like, we've given him this a multi-year contract.
Longer term.
Yeah.
Longer term, I'm thinking, like, is 2027 too long?
No, I don't think so. But...
I mean, I think it makes sense for them to be like, right, let's see if we can get him a seat at Haas or something, or Sauber.
So this is what I'm asking. What seat is at risk for, or what seat do you think will be open for Oliver Berman? And what driver do you think is at risk if that is the case for 2025?
I think Bottas' contract will be up, right?
Yep. There's like 13 drivers' contracts up for at the moment.
Well, I think it will be time for Sauber to look at whether Bottas is worth it, because he's not going to be a cheap driver as such.
Yeah.
You know, he won't be on Mercedes wages, but they'll also need to look at Guan Yu Zhou.
Yep.
He's been lackluster as well. There's Logan Sargeant will not be driving next year.
How is he driving now?
He's obviously got like James Vowles nudes or something, because there's no way he's they're purely on merit at this point. I think both the Alpine boys will be safe in terms of jobs. They've got horrible cars, but I think their jobs will be safe because it's not really their fault.
But what seat do you think on the grid is the most likely that Oliver Berman would go to next year if he was going to?
He will take Kevin Magnussen's seat.
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to get to. I think it is most likely a Haas seat that he would go to. And that's what the reports are saying, actually. It makes more sense. I mean, if we're talking about if K-Mag, that he's Hulkenberg, that he's good enough to potentially drive for Mercedes, which I don't agree. But surely it's K-Mag's who's the seat is at risk at the moment.
Yeah, no.
You've got the Ferrari links, it makes perfect
sense.
Absolutely,
and I mean, we saw it last season, like, Hulk, I actually can't remember how the points finished, but Hulk was dunking on K-Mag.
Yeah.
So, yeah, and I think we've seen that at the start of this season as well.
Yeah, there's drivers on that grid, and we discussed this last week, who I don't think should be on the grid, but we are where we are, and I think there's drivers who actually should be on the grid, and I stay with my point. Liam Lawson should be on this grid.
Liam Lawson deserves a seat.
And obviously we discussed last week, you know, Danny Rick,
he won't be in the sport next year,
do you think?
Nah, he won't be. Definitely I would bet money on it.
Yeah, okay,
I'm not going to, but I would if I was a betting man, which I'm not.
Put it on, get a tattoo. Reports again today are still coming out going, could Verstappen really leave Red Bull? And actually, this is the first time Sky Sports have actually started commenting on this, which is interesting because, you know, you see a lot of different pages going, oh, Verstappen could leave this, whatever. It's now more of a talking.
He will not be going anywhere.
I don't know. I can't see it happening, but there's still some tension in this team. Something is happening because it's grumbling on. Because there was even talks that Christian Horner told to resign as soon as possible after Red Bull Chief portrayed himself as a victim. And this only came out 50 minutes ago.
I mean, it is... I haven't even heard anything about the Christian Horner situation other than...
Oh, okay. Now I've read this. But there's only one person who's actually come out and said this. And I guarantee you, as soon as I tell you the name...
Well, yeah, it's Helmut Marko.
No. As soon as I tell you the name, I'm looking forward to your response.
Okay.
Ralf Schumacher.
He doesn't know anything.
It's literally come out. I'm not even bothering reading that because that's... I don't believe that in the slightest.
He's just trying to keep his name relevant.
That is funny, man. That is funny. Would you like to talk about Australia?
Yes.
Right. So, FP1 on Friday, 1:30 till 2:30. You up or asleep?
1:30 till 2:30.
In the morning.
Wait, Friday night?
Morning.
It'll be Friday morning.
Yeah.
No, I'm not watching that.
Okay. FP2, 5 till 6, awake or sleep?
Asleep.
Okay. Saturday morning, FP3, 1:30 till 2:30, awake or asleep?
Asleep.
Qualifying Saturday, 5 till 6 a.m., awake or asleep?
Awake.
Yep, I agree with you on that one. And the race on Sunday, 4 a.m., awake or asleep?
Qualifying dependent.
So you'll be asleep then. Right, quiz time. You can play at home. Let us know. Get your little notepad out. First Grand Prix held.
Get your little notepad out. That's not a euphemism, is it?
Nope.
Okay, good.
1965. 1996. Number of laps.
That was the year I was born.
Was it?
So that's why I didn't know.
Oh, okay. Yeah, you wouldn't have a clue, would you?
No. Nope.
Number of laps. Get this right and I'll pay a month of your mortgage.
I feel like it's 58.
59.
It's 58, isn't it?
How the fuck did you get that? Can you see through? It reflected somewhere. Yeah, well done. Lap record and held by who?
It's a 1:32.4 held by Lewis Hamilton.
You've already checked these, haven't you?
No.
No. You have checked these.
I swear on my life I haven't.
Okay, so 1:20.2 and it's Sergio Perez in 2023.
See? Told you.
Number of DRS zones.
Ooh, wait, that's... This feels like a trick question because there's two detection points.
Yep.
But then there's technically four places you use it.
Yep.
Because you have it before. You have it on the straight, don't you? The pit straight.
Yeah.
And then you have that bend and then obviously you've got turn one, turn two, and then you get it again.
Yeah.
Up there. And then you've got the same on the back straight.
So there's four. You've got two detection zones and four.
Obviously that's like...
Yeah. No, you're right. You're right.
It's unusual, isn't it?
Yeah. So, five storylines we're excited about ahead of the 2024 Australian Grand Prix. So, Sainz recovery.
Is that exciting? Well, are we excited about that? I mean, no. I'm glad he's all right. But, I mean, let's be honest. He had his appendix out. It's like the most routine procedure ever.
I don't know. Recovery is bad.
I mean, I couldn't believe he was at the track the next day.
That was
ridiculous.
See
the videos of him like hobbling along.
Yeah.
Go home and rest. Go to bed, mate.
We're waiting to see whether it's going to be Behrman on Sainz. Knowing our luck, before this podcast comes out, it's obviously being announced.
Oh, it will be announced tomorrow at 4:59.
But I'd like to see Carlos Sainz back because I think he's got a lot to prove this year.
I mean, it would be better to have Sainz in the car.
So hopefully he will be back. Ferrari closing in on Red Bull.
Says who?
Well, this is what they're talking here. The focus at Ferrari. It's on the F1 website.
Oh my god, that is propaganda.
Charles Leclerc scored Ferrari's second consecutive podium and was little over 18 seconds behind Max Verstappen.
He was only 18 seconds behind him. Right. Oh my god, he's massively close to gap, isn't he?
Mercedes going for the win this weekend.
Fuck off. They haven't written that.
Mercedes looking for improvements.
Have you read the Mercedes stuff? Let me actually pull this up, because this team...
Mercedes admit they are trying to work out why they have been struggling to get the grip of the W15 at all times, with a focus on the bouncing issues that have been a recurring problem for the team since the new generation of cars introduced in 2022. There's been plenty of optimism heading into the new season because both Lewis and George felt the car was a clear step forward in terms of how comfortable it was for them to drive. Yeah, but the issue is they've had a malfunction on their simulator, which has shown them they can...
Which, by the way, wasn't that the problem with the W13 as well? Yeah, like, no, it wasn't correlating to the sim. But have you not seen this report? Mercedes are considering postponing their scheduled upgrades to the W15. Yeah. I think a lot of teams are scheduled to bring big upgrades to at Imola.
Yeah.
Which I believe is round 7.
Yep, let me have a look.
Wait. I can recite this.
Hang on.
Bahrain. Hang on. Saudi.
Let me get it. One second.
But look, I've got this. It's Bahrain. It's Saudi.
Yep.
It's Australia.
Yep. Well done.
It's Japan.
Yep.
It's Miami.
Nope. One of our favourite tracks is back. China.
Oh, yeah. China. Miami.
Yep.
Imola.
Yep. All right, keep going. You're doing well here. After Imola.
After Imola. Monaco.
Monaco. Round 9 is...
Baku.
Canada. Round 10.
Baku.
Spain. Round 11.
Baku.
Austria. Round 12.
Zandvoort.
Silverstone. Okay. Round 13.
Baku.
Budapest.
Fuck.
Round 14.
Zandvoort.
Belgium. Round 15.
Baku.
Zandvoort. Round 16.
San Mexico.
Monza. Oh, round 17.
Baku.
Yeah! Round 18.
After Baku, where the hell can we go? We're racing in so many places. We're not back at Turkey this year, are we?
No.
Mexico.
Singapore.
Oh, yeah, fuck.
Round 19.
Mexico.
USA Grand Prix. Round 20.
Mexico.
Yeah. Round 21.
Brazil?
Yep. Round 22.
How many races are there this year?
24.
Yeah, this is confusing me. Because I want to say Vegas.
It is Vegas. Round 23.
Oh, then Qatar.
Yeah.
And then Abu Dhabi.
Right. Okay, we're going to make a game with this. All right. We're going to do the same next week. And we're going to see how we go.
You know what? The confusing part is the European leg.
Yeah.
That's where it gets really confusing, because...
They're going from... Then it's not all in one, is it? They're all over the place. But also, if you've got the F1 calendar at home, you obviously won't need this part of the podcast because you've got the F1 calendar. Because
like you like to let us know.
Yeah, you let us know when they are. I actually enjoyed that game. That was much more fun than I expected. Interesting one for you. Two Aussies on the grid this weekend.
Oh, I thought it was going to be a joke, like two Aussies walked into a bar or something.
No. Danny Ric, Piastri.
Yep.
Who do you think is going to come out on top?
I mean, Piastri.
Yeah.
Unless he literally dies on the grid.
Let's hope
there's
not.
No way that Danny Ric is going to finish ahead of him.
I can't see it, and it for me it is Piastri. I think
that must have been a hard one.
It was a tough one. Who's your top three for this weekend's Australian Grand Prix?
Max, Sergio, Charles.
Okay, that's annoying because I was going to go the same.
Well, because like let's be real at this point. What else makes sense? Other than Sainz, maybe in third instead of Charles. But the Red Bulls won 200%, and it's not going to be Checo's not going to be P1.
Okay, all right, like it. I'm going to mix it up a bit and go
Danny Rick,
Sergeant.
Could you imagine?
No, that's the issue. I just can't imagine. That's the thing. I just can't imagine.
If Sergeant wins a race, I won't get a tattoo like you. I will pay for a bulldozer to come to my house and knock it down. That's how confident I am.
I would love it at one of these. Bottas takes out 19 Everyone. Other cars and it's only Sergeant because he's
Surely the race couldn't go on then. Would it go on?
Yeah, of course it could. If he's the only driver left, he would be automatically a winner, wouldn't he?
You've heard it here first. That is a promise. If Sergeant wins a race this season, I'll ring the local bulldozer company. I don't know what they're called. Seaford Bulldozers or something. I'll get them to come to my gaff and I'll just say, take it out. I don't want it.
Okay, my top three. Max, I'm going to go, I think, Leclerc, Perez.
You spent all that time thinking to literally swap Leclerc with Perez.
Yeah, pretty much. Well, I have to make it a bit more interesting
even
in my head.
Even though you know Perez is going to finish second.
Probably, but he will probably muck himself up because he'll probably get a penalty or something.
For what?
Well, I don't know. Did he got a penalty for their pit stop on safe release, didn't they, in Saudi?
It wasn't even his fault.
Yeah, but okay, when was that race when Sergio got literally a 15-second penalty? Was that, where was that last year? Mexico? No, it wasn't because
where was it? Where he was driving like a bit of a terrorist. Yeah. Was it Japan?
May have done, but you know, he got a 15 second penalty.
Yeah, so, I feel like it was Japan. He was driving like a bit of a nut job, wasn't he?
He has that in his locker. You know, so I'm happy every now and then just to kind of live on the edge and make a bit of a different call.
No, you're really living on the edge there, yep. Putting him third.
Yep. But do let us know who's your top three. And I think that is about it. Hopefully you've enjoyed the podcast. Do leave a like rating on Apple. Do leave a 5-star rating on Spotify and on Apple Podcasts. It is massively appreciated. We'll be back next week discussing all things Melbourne and hopefully a Lewis Hamilton win. But we're living in a dream world there. So have a good week. Luke, enjoy your new camera.
Yeah,
I always get confused because it looks like an umbrella from this angle.
Yeah, it's quite a weird shaped little thing, isn't it?
It is. But yeah, have a good week. Enjoy the race and we shall see you next week. Bye-bye.